So what if the reason you feel exhausted or resentful or stuck is because you've been saying yes to everyone else, but no to yourself? Welcome back to the show. Today we're diving into something powerful, self-love, boundaries, and what it really means to start choosing yourself. I'm joined by Michelle Dozan Johal, a resilience coach, a poet, and mother who has turned life's hardest moments into strength, wisdom, and transformation. So, Michelle, last time you were on the show, we talked about your framework for handling stress, and it really landed with the audience. And today we're going to go deeper. What I see over and over again is that people don't struggle because they don't know what to do. They struggle because they don't feel worthy of choosing themselves. So, what does yes, saying yes to yourself, actually mean? And why do so many people feel uncomfortable when doing it?
I mean, that's a loaded question. So I'm actually going to back it up a little bit. And saying yes to ourselves means recognizing the power of love in general. And I feel like I just need to clarify that I feel like we have been fed this false narrative, and especially as women. And the narrative is that romantic love is the most powerful of all. And I feel like we need to deprogram ourselves, a lot of us, because we're taught through fairy tales that our prince is going to save us, romance novels, movies, and everywhere we look, that our partner is going to complete us. So this romantic love is what we need to strive for, and this is what we put everything into. And the truth is that there are so many kinds of love that are just as powerful. Love for family, love if you're a mother, your love for your children, which is something that saved me time and time again. And self-love, it seems like a radical concept,
Totally.
self-love, because how many of us ever learn to love, truly love ourselves, right? So yeah, I feel like the first step is to just to recognize when we say, love, we don't mean just love for a romantic partner. And that doesn't minimize that kind of love. That kind of love can be beautiful in its own right. But first we need to complete ourselves.
We've been conditioned to feel like we're not enough unless we have that counterpart. And I'm so guilty of it. Like, as much as I'm working on self-love and feeling truly comfortable with myself, there's still a part of me that feels like, I wonder if things would be better if, I was madly in love with my person, because I ended a relationship to choose myself. And that wasn't easy. And so I guess what my question was is how, like, what does saying yes to yourself actually mean? Because a lot of people feel uncomfortable, even guilty about going on that journey of self-love because people call them selfish and all of the above. So let's maybe start there.
So don't even get me started on that bit, because when we say that it's selfish, this is another false narrative that society would have us believe, right? It's not, it couldn't be further from the truth. If you choose to love yourself, it is the opposite of being selfish. And I'll tell you why. Because when you are choosing to love yourself, it doesn't mean that you are making yourself better than anyone else. It's not a narcissistic kind of love. It simply means that we're making ourselves equal, because as women, we often give and give and give of ourselves to everyone else, that we're the ones that are depleted, right? And Gloria Steinem said this perfectly. She said that the golden rule actually applies to men, to, do unto others as you want others to do unto you. Women naturally, innately do this already. And so we need to learn to do unto ourselves as we do unto others already, naturally. And when we do this, I have to tell you, it's healing, and I know this from experience, right? When you start to choose yourself, and for me as a mother of children who have such extreme challenges, this has been a really difficult thing to do, to even put myself on an equal, platform as the love that I give to them. And I'm still working on it. I'm not going to say that I'm quite there yet. I am working on it and I am trying. But when we give ourselves that love and that care, that self-care, it's healing. When we change that, like there's so many pieces and I'll get to it in a minute, but when we start to change that inner dialogue and we treat ourselves and speak to ourselves with this self-kindness and self-compassion, it's actually doing the inner healing work on yourselves. And if you think about it, if everybody in the world, those who are capable anyway, there are some people who are not capable for they have mental illness or whatever it might be. But those of us who are capable, if all of us simply did the inner work of self-love, which is so powerful that it's healing, and there's research, showing why it's healing, particularly lowering your cortisol levels and I'll get into the research in a moment, too. You have to remind me. Now I'm just getting on and on and on. But when we do that inner work and we heal ourselves, if we all did that, we would have a healed society. That's not selfish. Healing yourself so that you're doing your part in healing society, that is the opposite of selfish, and also, when we do that inner work and we heal ourselves, it starts to spill over and it affects our loved ones. It affects your children. It affects our friends. It affects everybody. And I agree, we should all strive to choose partners who make us feel worthy, right? So that is part of self-love. Choosing those kinds of partners who see our worth. So good for
Absolutely.
you. That's a hard thing
Where do
to
you?
do.
Yeah, I mean, it is, but at the same time, you can really feel the disconnection when you're misaligned in a relationship. And I think that's more all-consuming than being on your own. Like, once you're on your own and you choose yourself, that's where the work begins, the healing work. But the disconnection that you feel in a life that isn't yours, I feel like I said it, you can feel that. And it's like every day is a struggle when you don't choose yourself. And so I was just going to ask you, where do you think all of this begins? Like, where does the conditioning come from?
But it comes from society. We start to get programmed, I believe, when we're children. Like I was just saying, like when we're little girls, we're fed all these stories. And we're made to believe that we need to constantly give of ourselves until we're depleted. It's the programming is everywhere in our society, and I'll tell you why. Because a woman who loves herself and heals herself is a powerful woman, right? So
Absolutely.
of course, society and the patriarchy is going to want to keep us small, and so we have to realize that no, we're not going to dim our shine for anyone anymore, Who are we even doing that for? Why are we making ourselves small? We should shine as bright as possible, and that allows others to do the same around us.
It's so weird how people mistake self-love and confidence for like ego and selfishness. Like you're 100% right. Like I 100% agree that society, it's like people who are confident and love themselves almost are a threat to other people. And it's like the confident healed person is holding up a mirror to the unhealed person, and that's causing the unhealed person to feel triggered by it. And then it's like this disconnect. It can be really, really hard to stay in that space. Like you have to be so strong.
But you have to remember that people who are triggered, that's like you said, you're simply a mirror And so it's triggering something within them that they need to heal. Because shouldn't we all love ourselves? And again, when I say love ourselves, I'm not talking about a narcissistic kind of love. That means we are making ourselves better than other people. It simply means we are equalizing the playing field. And we're also taking care of ourselves, right? I mean, me stepping into self-love was the opposite of neglecting my children. I wasn't, I have never
I was just gonna
neglected.
say, how does that show up when it in terms of motherhood and caregiving and just daily
Yeah.
life? So how do you balance that?
And so for me, I have quite an extreme situation, which we got into a little bit in the last podcast, because I have, you know, my son is autistic with mood disorder. My daughter has a very rare health disorder, mosaic Turner syndrome, which led to open heart surgery, which led to a hormone condition, IBD, blood transfusions, and then psychosis and serious mental health. So for me, I'm preaching from experience that it was very important for me to take care of myself so that I wasn't going to be burnt out or sick, and I could continue to help my children as well, right?
Right.
And so there was a point where, and I might have talked about this in the last episode, where my daughter had just had open heart surgery at 15, and she was about 4 weeks into her recovery. And my son, I kept him home because I didn't want, you know, any germs coming in from the school and then affecting my daughter who was recovering from open heart surgery. And it was COVID time, you know, as well. So I remember his mood disorder showed up for the first time. 4 weeks in, my daughter is recovering, and my son who is autistic, mood disorder shows up, and he
Wow.
is depressed at 11, so depressed that he is run bolting out of the house. He is flopping into traffic, trying to hurt himself, his head in the concrete. And I started talking to a therapist, and the therapist told me, "You are doing so much for your kids. You're doing so much for your family. You no excuses. You must find one thing for yourself." And so, you know, there are always pieces of ourselves that we leave behind and we forget and we need to come home to. And one of those pieces for me was, as a child, I used to write all the time, and as a teenager, even in my early 20s, until I became a mom. And then your responsibilities take over and you forget those pieces of yourself. So I thought, okay, well, I don't have time to be writing novels, but I can certainly write poetry. So I started just while I'm having my morning coffee, you know, I made no excuses. I said, I have to find 15, 20 minutes, half an hour a day. So I would just do it while I'm drinking my coffee with one hand, and then I'd be, you know, writing with my other. And before you knew it, I had I think I spoke about it before, my poetry page on Instagram, Mindful Warrior's Way. And then before you knew it, I was published. So I poured my, and so th this was an act of self-love for me because it was very healing.
Amazing.
Thank you. I was coming back to, you know, one of my childhood passions. I made one of my childhood dreams come true, which is, you know, I made my book come true. And at the same time, I was, you know, pouring all my pain into my words and alchemizing my pain, and I was healing. And so it served a huge, you know, it did such a world of good. And
How
it's
did that
ironic.
change? How did that change the way that your son was, or how did that change the dynamic in your house when you started healing? I'm a true believer, and there's studies that show that, like you said at the beginning of this episode, that as we're healing, we're also healing society. So if I'm doing the work, that means my energy is affecting everybody around me as well, and it's causing them to do the healing. So did the situation in your household shift at all?
I'm not quite sure how much it shifted, how much I could attribute to my own healing work and how much I can attribute to, modern medicine and the fact that we're so blessed here in Canada that we have free healthcare. Right. I don't know if I could have afforded all these surgeries and hospital admissions and whatnot otherwise. But they are, I mean, my daughter's in a much better place. And my son is getting there. I think he would be in a worse place. Like if I absolutely, and I know with autism too, because I was teaching special needs for a while, that if we're not showing up as regulated adults, that energy rubs off on the child, and then the child is going to start getting dysregulated because of your energy, right? So I don't know how, I can't say how much it's helping, but it definitely helps. Like when I come in from a calm place, if you meet somebody else's, chaos with chaos, that's just going to erupt, right?
Yeah,
But when
totally.
my
Like you see people with their pets and like the dog is like shaking, and then you look at the owner and the owner is super anxious, right? Like what you surround yourself with is essentially gonna come up with what you receive. Man, yeah,
and
that's it's really,
powerful.
really tough.
Yeah, and it's funny because I was thinking about it and I realized the title of my book, it's called The Warrior Sayings. I don't know if you could see it.
Yeah.
And the entire book is really a tribute, or the whole it's poetry that's a tribute to the power of love. So this theme of how powerful love is, it shows up in my life again and again. And do you mind if I read the poem that's the namesake of the book?
Please.
So it's called The Warrior Sings, and it's about an angel that ends up in a prison cell. So the most beautiful song echoed in the wintry halls of the prison, calling attention to the angel in the cold cell, his wings chained and bleeding. "You fool," said the prison guard. "You are cold and decrepit and a fraction of your former self. Your wings are chained and bleeding. Why do you sing?" The angel merely smiled and said, "Because in love I rise." So he sang once again, and the tune echoed through the wintry hilltops and barren land where hope had been lost. A nomad heard it and came to the window cell. He saw the chained angel and said, "Fool, you are worse off than me. Why do you sing?" "Because, my darling, in love I rise." Days passed and the angel continued to sing, and one day the prison guard brought his little girl and told her to stay put. Of course, this little girl seldom did as she was told. She stole a set of keys, went exploring when she heard the most glorious of songs. She followed the song to the cell with the angel. She opened the cell, was overjoyed with joy and love. She kissed the angel on the forehead, unlocked his chains, and said, "I love you." And the angel smiled and rose. And
Beautiful.
thank you. His secret, the warrior's secret, and my secret through my suffering, and what the warrior knows is they will continue to sing because they understand that the power of love is transformative and will help you rise, will help you heal. It can do all the things. And for me, love was the thing that brought me back to myself again and again, including the love that I have for my kids. Right? We experience so many dark nights of the soul with all of their health challenges, mental health challenges, and there were times that were really, really dark. And I would
Yeah.
just think about how much I love them and how much they need me. And so we can't underestimate love. Love is such a powerful, powerful energy. And it's
Totally.
been a theme in my life time and time again. I just didn't
Well,
always realize it.
yeah, no, it is literally is at the center of everything, because I think everyone can relate to being in a situation with another person where there may be some anger or some like lower frequency emotions involved, but then when you come at the person or situation in a loving way, how that shifts everything. And so I was in a call with somebody and they got really mad at me and started lashing out. And instead of getting defensive, I simply said, "Are you okay? Like, what is going on in your life?" Like, because I knew that it couldn't be about me. I just had met this person. And it turned out that they had just lost their wife. And so the reason that this person was yelling at me, which is not appropriate and not acceptable, but I mean, you just have to look at it from a different angle sometimes, was because he lost the love of his life. And so when I came at it from a place of love, understanding, and compassion, boy, did that shift everything. If I would have started yelling back, then think of what would have happened, right? Like, I remember being terrified of like ghost stories and like spirits
I
when I
love
was
ghosts.
younger. Yeah, the ghost under the bed. And my mentor challenged me to not go down that route and to think about love, because low frequency can't attach to high frequency. Like it's attracted to it, but it can't latch on. And so when I decided to just essentially kill everything with love, I wasn't afraid anymore.
Right.
So interesting.
It's powerful, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have a similar story too when I was teaching and back in the day when I was a substitute teacher. And I remember going into the classroom one day and there was just this really angry young girl. And, she kept lashing out. I'm trying to teach, kept lashing out. And I asked her to step outside and I remember her thinking that I was going to lay into her. And I did the opposite. I was like, is everything okay? Are you okay? And that just like diffused everything. And then she came back in. The rest of the day was, fine. You're absolutely right.
And that's
It's
self-love.
powerful.
That's self-love. That's like recognizing that it's not about us. We're choosing not to let somebody get us angry or upset. We're choosing the higher road, which I know my stress level wasn't high after that conversation. I felt so grounded and almost like on cloud nine in a sense, for holding my emotions and for being understanding and for choosing love instead of going down the other path, which isn't always easy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Michelle, what happens when we don't choose ourselves?
That's a good question. I don't think that we're going to evolve into the highest version of ourselves. I don't think we're going to allow healing, right? I think we're going to be stuck. I mean, if you're okay with that, if you're okay with being stuck in a lower vibration, in a lower state, and then that's your choice. But you asked a question earlier too about like what does it mean to choose yourself and what does it mean to say yes to yourself? And it was really uncanny because that was one of the first things you said to me before we even started recording. And that happens to be the name of the course that I'm creating right now is She Said Yes to Herself. So for me, I've been, pondering the different pieces and so the why in yes would stand for you matter. You come back to home to yourself. Find those pieces of you that you lost along the way that are still a part of you and that you never wanted to lose. It's like almost like healing that inner child. And when I started writing again, I came back to the things that young Michelle love to do. And I, when we make our passions a priority, we are saying that we choose ourselves, that our dreams matter. And so that's the second part is E, continue to evolve, right? Accept growth as well as, finding the lost pieces of yourself. So there's going to be some things that you're going to change along the way. So accept that growth. So you shed the pieces that no longer serve you. And then you set goals, you set dreams, because we want to constantly evolve into a higher place. And then the S for me is self-care. And for me, self-care can run deep. It could be meditation. I try to meditate almost every day, so it could be deep like meditation. It could be nurturing our body. It could be nurturing our soul, or it could be nurturing our body. It could be, exercise, nutrition, or it could be superficial. I'm just gonna go to the spa. I'm gonna get pampered. I'm gonna get my hair done, my nails done. That's okay. So there's different kind of levels to self-care. But what is it that makes you feel good? And why wouldn't you want to feel good? Like if we all showed up, like you're talking about vibration, that language really speaks to me because we all show up in the highest vibrations we can possibly show up in. Everything in life is energy, everything, right? That's healing. That's helping the world to shift energetically. And so yeah, it's quite deep. And there was a research study done when we're talking about the power of how powerful self-talk is and how important it is to be kind in our self-talk. And I actually just recorded an insight timer. It's called Radical Affirmations for Self-Love and Healing. So it's a free affirmations to listen to. And there was a research done by, I know it sounds like I'm going all over the place, but I'm coming back to it, I promise.
No, it makes sense.
Dr. Emoto, and he did this research on water. And he had, the same water in different vials, and he simply shifted the language that he would use. So he used, language such as, I love you, you're wonderful, or whatever it is, and then negative language. And depending on what he was saying, the molecules of the water actually transformed.
Amazing.
That's the power of our self-talk, because our words are energy, right? So think about how much water we're composed of. And if we're being unkind to ourselves constantly, what are we doing to our bodies, right? Because those words are so powerful. That's the thing. People don't realize how powerful it is. And so you got to start treating yourself with kindness, and that truly, truly starts with, what do you say to yourself?
What do you see when you look in a mirror in the mirror? Like, what are your first thoughts? Yeah.
And we're
I
all
actually
pretty
did that.
hard on ourselves.
I did that study with the plant but that's behind me. That's in all the shows. And every morning I woke up and I would say good morning to it and I would water it and tell it was so beautiful. And I am not even joking. Like this thing grew like a weed and it's so beautiful and lush and it grew so fast. Yeah, because I also see studies of like similar to the water study where people do that with plants in schools to teach young people on what their words mean to other kids. So if there's a bully talking to another student in a negative way, how much that actually harms them. But yeah, isn't it crazy how sometimes we talk to ourselves? Like, I would never talk to somebody else the way I talk to myself sometimes.
I say this all the time, like I'll catch my friends, right? And they're being unkind to themselves. And I said, would you speak to me like that? And I'm pretty harsh with it. I just cut it right out, because I'm like, no, you're not allowed to talk to my friend that way. Change that self-talk. That's not okay. But I think that for a lot of people, it happens at a subconscious level, or it's become so ingrained in them that they, and so programmed within them that they don't even realize that they have this work to do, you know, and they're hurting themselves, they're harming themselves every time they're unkind in their own minds. And it's hard to look in the mirror sometimes and love ourselves because we automatically pick out every flaw, right? That's just the way our minds work. But what if we picked out what was beautiful instead? What if we retrained our minds and to just start to be kinder to ourselves in all the ways, right? And so I started a practice recently where I look at myself in the mirror every day. I tell myself in the third person, because there was a study done about speaking to yourself in the third person that also lowers your cortisol and actually starts to physically. I mean, think about how much you change that plant. How much are we changing ourselves, right? So I look at myself, I talk to myself, Michelle, I choose you. And then I ask, you know, what would you like from me today? And then I tell myself whatever it is that I might need to hear in the moment, whether it's I love you, you know, or something else. But I think this is something we all need to do. I know it sounds so cheesy and corny, right? But
No,
it's
like
important.
we're talking, speaking of energy, people don't realize that the world that they're presented with is literally a reflection of their inner state. And so if someone is constantly speaking negatively to themselves, or if they're in this array of emotion or drama, the world is going to keep presenting you exactly how you feel on the inside. And so, for example, a month ago, I was going through something and I was just like a whirlwind of emotions. It was like anxiety and depression and sadness and just all of these really low frequency emotions. And my washing machine exploded. And I'm like, it didn't just happen. It happens because it was like it was exactly my internal state. And it was so interesting to me because I'm standing there. There's water gushing out of my washing machine, and I couldn't move. I was just staring at the water coming out of it, going, "Oh my God, I did this. Like, this is exactly how I'm feeling on the inside." And so the universe just presented to me how I was feeling and rattled the cage so that, it would kind of like alter my state so that I could try and start cleaning it up. So the water flushed out of it and then kind of like cleansed everything, forced me to clean up everything. And then things started shifting. But I truly believe I caused that to happen based on my internal state. It's just like simplicity. To use a simple example, the red car theory, you see a red car, you see them everywhere. You're angry, you're going to see anger everywhere.
Yeah, that's powerful.
So when we learn to love ourselves, I mean, we're gonna have a better life.
In all of the ways. Yeah, I think that that's the first thing we should do is love ourselves before we even go and find another, you know, find a partner or, you know, yeah, I mean, we're so busy trying to find someone else to complete us and you're never going to feel complete if you don't learn to complete yourself. Yeah.
So how do you learn to say yes to yourself, I guess? Like how does this transformation process happen? Where does someone begin?
Yeah, so I mean, I talked a little bit about how I framed it in my program is that so the why is learning you matter, coming back home to the pieces of yourself that you lost along the way. E is for continuing to evolve, your dreams matter, your goals matter, and then S is self-care, and you know, and self-talk as well, and how we speak to ourselves. Yeah, and finding the pieces of self-care that work for you. Yeah, if you want to do deeper work, I have a whole framework for so many of us are running in these overwhelmed states. right? And
Yep.
and so we have a framework for resilience and to make stress your bitch.
Yes.
Well, but that's even deeper, I think. And
What
more
about
work.
the what about the guilt and shame and how do we move through that?
Oh my
And
God.
with that, I think comes boundaries. So we can talk about that next.
Absolutely boundaries. But I kind of learned at some point that the people who need to be feeling guilty are the ones that don't, right? The ones that are out there abusing people, mistreating people, unkind, they're not even feeling the guilt or the shame, right? Leave those emotions to those people. And the rest of us feel guilty over little things like, oh, I chose to do this for myself instead of getting this done, instead of cooking for the family or whatever. And it's like, stop, right? I feel like guilt and shame, like they're useless emotions most of the time because they're not really serving us, you know? And so I don't know how, but I learned to let go of guilt and shame like a long time ago, because there kind of came a point in my life where I was like, the world is beating me up enough. I choose not to do that to myself. And when we are sitting in guilt, when we're sitting in shame, when we're sitting in some of these lower vibrations, that's hurting us. That's not really serving us unless really did something that we need to reflect on, right? That's all it's there for. That emotion serves a purpose for people who have truly hurt someone and need to reflect on it. But most of us are feeling those feelings and we haven't really hurt anybody. So I don't know how I learned to let it go, but I learned to let a lot of that go, especially that negative self-talk and the negative emotions, because I was like, I just made a decision that my life has been hard enough. The world is going to be hard enough on me. I won't do that to myself.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really great advice. But when it comes to setting boundaries, I know how difficult and challenging that can be. And it also feels really foreign at first. What would you say about boundaries?
Oh my gosh. So boundaries were really hard for me because I was the person who constantly gave of myself, even to my own detriment. I would constantly be kind to others, even when they didn't deserve it, even when they would, step all over me. I would continue to be kind. And there came a point where I realized that that's what I was teaching my daughter.
Right.
And she was being kind, but to her own detriment. She was being kind to the people who didn't deserve it. And then the universe sent me a lesson a few years back, and it was like loud and glaring, and it was to learn boundaries. And so I've been fortunate most of my life. I've had beautiful people around me, and my family, my friends. I've always just I've been lucky and fortunate that I have such a strong circle of beautiful friends, wonderful women, my sisters, my mom, all the support. And so I always kind of saw the beauty in others really quickly, but probably because of how I grew up. And all of a sudden, I was receiving people in my life who I thought were friends, and they were backstabbing. They were, talking behind my back. They were, and like it was really, really gross, negative energy, gossip, and walking all over me in a time when life was already really hard. So there was, and it wasn't just one person, it was a series of people. And this was happening when my daughter was having blood transfusions, my son was getting kicked out of school, my And then my daughter was back in the hospital for months dealing with psychosis. And these people were doing that, who I thought were friends, who I thought were kind people. I'd seen, a beautiful side to them. And I was like, oh my gosh, the universe is teaching me something right now. They're telling me not everyone has this big, gracious heart that I credit them for. And it's time to cut them out. And I did the hard work because for me, I'm so forgiving that
Me
I'm
too.
almost overly forgiving sometimes because I'll let people back in my life that don't deserve it. And this time it was like, oh, you people don't deserve my energy. You don't deserve to be in my life. And I created a huge boundary. I actually left that workplace and never saw those people again. And it was hard
Amazing.
for me to leave that workplace. It was a, special education class that I adored. I loved those kids. But there was just too much toxicity. And so I had to, but leaving that job ended up also in retrospect being one of the best decisions that I could have made because leaving that job has given me energy to come back to myself, to find, self-love, to create courses to help others to do this kind of thing, podcast. I wrote a chapter in a book about resilience. It gave me all this time to do the things that are part of my passion and my purpose. So creating those boundaries ended up being the best thing for me. But yeah, it's not always easy. Sometimes you have to leave toxic people, and that doesn't mean that I don't forgive them. I recognize that we're all human. We can all make mistakes. I can forgive them, but I just don't need that energy in my immediate field. I don't need them in my life,
Totally. And I think part of self-love is forgiveness. He who angers you controls you, as the saying goes. So it's like, you set a boundary, you left the situation, and then you forgive. Because I feel like when we don't forgive, we hold on to that. And if we're holding on to that grudge or that feeling of anger, that's going to destroy us, just like it'll destroy the plants and the water and the people around us. It'll start eating away at our energy. It's like taking energy away from us, and for what, really? There's these beautiful stories where you see people who were held captive in stories back in the day where they have like faced their captive and said, "I forgive you," and how emotional that event is, and how freeing it is at the same time. It's hard to watch because it's so emotional, but it's like that person is freeing themselves in that moment by offering that forgiveness. So, I mean, I'm not saying that any of this is right, but I am saying that forgiveness is like, I think, the key to freedom, and it's such a big part of self-love.
I love that. Just because you're letting go of, anything, any lower vibration that doesn't serve you.
Totally.
Yeah, and you're right, holding on. If you don't forgive, you're holding on to that anger and you're still holding on to that hurt. And that doesn't mean you forget, and that doesn't mean that you put yourself back into that same situation. It doesn't mean you're not moving on. It just means you're letting go. Yeah, I love that.
So, Michelle, what would you say to the women out there listening right now who feel completely disconnected from themselves?
That you matter. And if you start to recognize that and learn to recognize that, it's a powerful thing. When you make that shift and when you step into that shift, it's powerful.
Be hard
And
to
I hope
do in
people
those
recognize
lowest
that.
times, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely, absolutely. So I would hope that everyone could recognize that within themselves, because we all matter.
How do you hold on to that in moments where your children are in the hospital or, you're going through the really, really hard times? How do you hold on to that personally?
I just give myself a lot of grace in those moments, right? The house isn't going to get cleaned if my children are in the hospital. I'm not going to be able to do my usual job. I'm going to give myself a break. So yeah, I grant myself a whole lot of grace when I'm in a dark time. And then that once the dark, because that too will pass. And then once that passes, then you come back to more of those self-care pieces. And but self-love can look different at different times. It can just simply be granting yourself some grace.
Yeah, like that guilt piece again of I'm allowed to sit here and rest today. Like we all beat ourselves up when we want to rest and not push and push and push, but really it's all just a big story that we're telling ourselves, right?
Yeah. No, rest is important. I naps. Yeah.
Amazing. Michelle, tell everyone more about the work that you do.
So I am a resilience coach and a teacher. I'm a poet, and I've created up one course that is called Make Stress Your Bitch. And it's all about how to feel better through the FAST framework. So feel better fast, and all the strategies that you can apply, so that you can walk towards resilience and de-stressing. And then I am creating another course right now about how to choose yourself and say yes to yourself. And I have another course because I started off as a teacher and a special needs teacher. And I did a lot of work around social and emotional learning, which was a passion and is a passion of mine. And it's about emotional intelligence building in neurodiverse adults and neurodiverse adolescents. And so I created a course that kind of works for both. Yeah.
Amazing. So where can people find you?
So I am on Mindful Warrior's Way. There's a website. You can find me on Mindful Warrior's Way on Instagram. And I also have another account, which is Mothers of Mental Health. So.
Amazing. Well, I think the work that you're doing is phenomenal, and you're so inspiring to, be going through and have gone through everything you have and be coming out on the other side of it as such a light. It takes so much strength and resilience. So thank you for talking about this very important topic.
Thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure.
Yeah, such a pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you to our audience for being here today. Please remember that self-love is not selfish. It is so part of being a human. And as Michelle said earlier so beautifully, if we love ourselves, then we can love everybody so much more and look after everybody so much better. So practice self-love, look in the mirror, tell yourself you love yourself. And if you don't mean it, eventually you will. So it just takes practice, just like anything else. If today's show resonated with you, please share a comment, share it with a friend who you think might benefit from hearing this conversation. And we will make sure to have Michelle's information in the show notes so you can have access to her website and her courses, including Make Stress Your Bitch. Stay tuned for the next episode, and thanks everyone for being here. Bye everyone.
Attention, all passengers. The Uber ride for Jeff's rugby team will depart in 5 minutes from platform 15. Your ride comes with six toilets and a refreshments carriage that you'll empty within 5 minutes. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.